Psalm chapter 139, verse 23. Psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now that is a prayer, really, of complete surrender to God. To ask God to search you, to try you, to know your thoughts, and then to show you if there's any wicked way in you, and not just stop right there, but then ask Him to lead you in the way everlasting. So God, lead me out of that. Lead me out of that. Now, if any of us have been saved for any amount of time and we have the Spirit of God in us, if we're saved, we have the Spirit of God in us, then we've prayed that prayer before. We've been, maybe not those exact words, but we've been frustrated with the fact that we failed and we've sinned against God and we've broken His commandments, and we want Him to lead us out. And that ought to be our prayer, and that's really what it needs to be going into this coming year, every year really, but I mean all the time this should be our Christian life. But again, this is what we're focusing on this year. So as we do that, as we examine ourselves, this is going to be a time of great growth if we allow God's Word to take root and grow in our lives. I'm telling you, we should never stay where we're at in our Christianity. We should never stay in the same spot. As we move forward for the Lord, we should always be growing. And that's something that only takes place if we're honest and willing to ask God to search me, to try me, and then lead me in the way everlasting, and we're sincere about taking those steps forward. There's some in here right now that you are not where you were last year. You went backwards. From the spot you were at last year, you're not as on fire for God. You're not as excited for God. You're not as committed to God, and you've gone backwards. And with that, I want you to ask yourself, why have I gone backwards? Why aren't I where I was? Why aren't I fired up like I was? Why aren't I excited about things like I was? And it happens to all of us. What we have to do is push through it. I promise you it happens to everyone. It happens to me. And you have to just keep going. You have to just keep doing what you're supposed to do. You have to just continue to do right. Continue to walk with God. Even when you don't want to, you have to make yourself do it. But if we do these things and we take these steps and we are honest in asking God to search us and to lead us in the way everlasting, we will grow and it'll be an amazing thing, and we'll be better for the Lord, and we'll be more for the Lord than we are right now. And we will really, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and we stand before Him, we won't have to hang our head in shame. We can say, God, I fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of rejoicing. Amen. Because I've kept the faith, because I've followed You, because I've served You, God. And that's what we should want. So some of the key areas we're going to look at bringing glory to Christ include, this is something we'll look at, and we've talked about it before here at our church, but I think it definitely needs to be an emphasis. This is one thing that will help keep it so that this church can continue to glorify God. And we want to look at the fact, the idea that genuine salvation changes people and is accompanied with evidence. Genuine salvation, I mean the real deal. Not someone just making a profession of faith, but the real deal changes people. It changes people. There's not one example in the Bible you see of somebody getting saved and they didn't change. Not one. There is not one example in the Bible. That's something we're going to focus on. That will bring God glory, don't you think, if people are getting saved? Amen. I mean, we pray for people to get saved. We went out yesterday and shared the gospel with people, and several people heard the gospel. Miss Robin and Miss Susanna were able to speak with a lady for about 30 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes. And Miss Robin, after she was done, I was waiting there for them to finish, and I asked her, well, how'd it go? And she said, it went good. She said, I could have gotten her to pray, but she wasn't ready. And most people say, well, she prayed, so she's saved. But she didn't understand everything. We want to truly help people get saved, not give them a false hope. Amen. What good does that do if we comfort people in a lie and they think they're going to heaven and they're not? Like, what shame is that for us? That doesn't glorify God. What glorifies God is that we just obey Him. We plant the seed, we water the seed, and the Bible says that God brings forth the fruit. God gives the increase. So let's just let God do it. Let's allow Him to do it instead of us trying to cultivate it in our own power. That's what we want to do. So we want to seek genuine salvation in people. We also want to keep His church pure through guarding the door of church membership. And in guarding the door to church membership, that goes right back to seeing genuine salvation. See, if this is a spiritual entity and we make spiritual decisions, then that means we need to be connected with the one who's guiding and leading us. And if we're not saved, if somebody's not saved, how can they make spiritual decisions? The best they can do is make fleshly decisions. And it's not our church to decide who does and doesn't get to be a member. It's the Lord's church. And He's given us the mandate of how we're to do that. He's given it to us in His Word. The only example we see of anybody getting baptized and joining a church is a saved person. That's it. So we want to focus on that. We want to guard this door to church membership because it's the Lord's church. It's not ours. We don't get to say, yeah, anyone that wants to. Well, if we could, great, but God hasn't given us the mandate to do that. He said, you make sure they're saved. John wouldn't baptize someone until they brought forth fruits meet for repentance. If that's the Bible example, why aren't we following that? And I mean, there's a lot of arguments people can give to this. They say, well, on the day of Pentecost, they all, you know, got saved immediately. I'm like, well, if you see the miracle that happened on the day of Pentecost and you see these Jews who were at one point antagonistic just a few days before or 40, 50 days before, whatever, towards the Lord, and they weren't happy with Him and they crucified Him. And now the people that crucified Him, they're going to turn against them. And they're in the Jews getting saved, they were turning against the people who just crucified Jesus Christ. So when you see a miracle like that take place, man, go ahead, baptize them, amen? But that's not usually the case. You want to look for the fact that someone is truly saved. That's what we want to do. Why? To protect this church. And by the way, as I mentioned these things, we'll go through and we'll look at this. I'm just touching on points. I'm going to teach on all this, on why we do this, and here's the biblical reasons why. So don't get too upset. Just stick around, and we'll learn what the Bible has to say about it. Because a church will never rise above its leaders, we are going to look to properly train leaders. A church is never going to get above the leaders. It will never do that. I'm just telling you. It doesn't matter where it's at. I've seen it so many times. It can be frustrating for me. But there's a lot of churches that the pastor doesn't go soul winning, the pastor doesn't share the gospel, therefore the church members aren't going to.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It won't. It will not happen. If it's not a priority to the leadership, it's not going to be a priority to the people in the pew. Now, there might be one or two people that are spiritual enough. They see the Bible. They see this is what I ought to be doing, so they'll go do it. But 999 times out of 1,000, okay, that's not going to happen. It just doesn't. It won't. If the leadership doesn't lead in it, why did everything that happened in the book of Acts take place? Because the apostles were leading in that. They were showing everyone, this is how we're going to do it. So because a church never rises above its leaders, we're going to look to properly train the leaders. This is going to include teaching them to be disciplined in their own lives. So if you are in any position of leadership, I'm going to tighten the belt on some things, and we're going to teach you to be disciplined in your own personal lives. The reason it doesn't transfer to leadership is because it's not happening in our personal lives. So that's going to be something we're going to focus on in this next year. To bring glory to God, we must all be disciples. Amen. That's, by the way, that's a trait you see of the people that get baptized. They're disciples, meaning a follower of Christ. They follow Jesus Christ. So we are going to strive to all be disciples. I mean, that's really New Testament salvation right there, is a disciple. That's what they're called more than anything in the Bible, by the way. More than saint, more than believer, it's called a disciple. A disciple. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That's what God wants from us, to continue in His word. That's how we can bring God glory. A disciple is a disciplined one. That's where the root of the word is discipline, okay? Disciple is a disciplined one, and New Testament discipline is all that's necessary to produce a true disciple. Yes, discipline, that's something we're going to teach on and focus on. That's something that's completely lacking in Christendom is discipline, church discipline. You start talking about church discipline and everyone, you know, they get their feelings all hurt and they say, that shouldn't happen. You're not supposed to, you know, you shouldn't ever exclude somebody from church. Church is supposed to be there to help people. And we've got this foolish idea that, you know, and so I might, this might bother you that I make this statement, but so many people, you know, make the statement and I've erroneously said it myself, but oh, church is for, you know, it's like a hospital for the sick. You know, it's not a, how do they word it? You know, a sanctuary for the saints. Actually, it is a sanctuary for the saints. Right. You know, it's, yes, we come here all messed up and we are sinners and all of that. And it's to help people to grow. But honestly, it's for saved people. Church isn't for the lost. You're not, people aren't supposed to, the lost aren't, the purpose of this isn't for the lost to come here so they can get saved. That's not the purpose of this. And see, because we've got that all messed up and we don't understand what the church is, we get bad doctrine. And bad doctrine produces bad works. So that's what's going on right there. So New Testament discipline is something that's almost unheard of. And when it is practiced, in the rare times that it is, people get their feelings hurt. Look, discipline is, man, let me ask you this. If why do we discipline our children? Why is it we discipline our children? Because we hate them? Because we want to hurt them? Because we want to see them cry? Why do we discipline our children? Why is it that we would paddle them at times? Because we want to inflict pain on them and make them cry? No, because we love them. That's why we do it. Because we love them. So since God loves us, he says discipline's necessary. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He chastens those that he loves. So if he loves us, wouldn't he chasten us? Yes. Well, that's the same thing in a church. This is his church. He loves us. He's going to chasten us. That's what discipline is. This means then that we are going to be a church of disciples, that we're going to maintain high standards for leaders and workers, including song leading, teaching, and preaching. So if we've got some of the men leading songs, we've got some of the men have been given opportunity to preach and to teach as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to lift that standard up. If you're not meeting the standard of what we should be, then you're not, that opportunity is going to be gone for you. And you could stand there and say, well, that's mean that you'd take that opportunity away from me. And here's what I'll say to you, if that's what you're thinking, the problem I have with that is you need to rise to the level that God's Word says. And you've made the decision for yourself not to be able to do that. Amen. It's not that I've made the decision for you. You made it for yourself in not meeting the standard that God has. And we'll go over what that standard is, but it's going to be faithfulness. I mean, I'll just tell you just right away. You know, you need to be faithful to all the services unless work hinders you. If you have to work, I understand that. But if work doesn't hinder you and you say, well, I'm just tired. I got out, you know, at 5:30 and I can't make it on Wednesday, or I, you know, I had to do whatever, you know, I had to work all night Saturday and I can't come Sunday morning. If you're off, you need to be here. You say, that's not fair. Where is that in the Bible? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. See, that's faithfulness. You see, sometimes you're going to have to sacrifice. This is what it means. This is what this vision means, that God's going to get glory in this church, is sometimes you have to sacrifice. It's not always about you. And we have to understand that it's not always about me. It's not always about what I want, what I desire. Man, my flesh wants a lot of things. I'll just be honest with you. Yesterday morning, I didn't want to be here at 10:30 to go soul winning. I didn't. I wanted to stay at home, stay in bed. That's what I wanted to do. But I was here. Amen. I don't always want to do things. Sometimes I don't even always want to get up and preach. Now, I usually do because I enjoy preaching, but I don't always. There's some times when I just don't want to. So what that means is, look, if you're going to be seen as a leader, then you need to act like one. Amen. We need to act like one. Because we're setting an example for everybody. And if the spiritual temperature is brought down by your lack of leadership, then that hurts everybody. And we ought to see that as something that's important. So this is where we're going to give God the glory, is by, hey, us working on these things, all of us together. None of us is perfect. We've all got things we got to work on. I need to be more disciplined. I can do things better. You know, all of us, but are we willing to work on it? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We're going to require faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says that moreover it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If God requires faithfulness of his stewards, how can the church require less? How can we? That doesn't make any sense, does it? God says, hey, if a steward, which is basically a manager, okay, I'm putting you in charge of this. Here's your responsibility. You take care of it. God says, if you're going to be my steward, then you need to be faithful. So how can we as a church require less of those who are in leadership, of those who have been given, hey, here's your management responsibility. You take care of this. Hey, it's your time. It's your turn to lead the music. You need to be here early, and yet you're not. How can we require less than the Lord would require? This goes beyond also this to just even those that sing specials and everything like that. We need to be responsible. How can we require less than the Lord requires? Look, I don't want to tell anyone, no, you can't do that anymore because you're not meeting these requirements. I don't want to do that. That is the last thing I want to do. I don't want to be in the position to have to do that, but if I have to, I will. As we seek to bring God glory, we will at times reprove and give sharp rebuke when necessary. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Reprove and rebuke. It's biblical to do that. And we need to do it. Why? For all of our own good. For all of our own good. So we can get the help that we need. We're going to teach obedience to authority. You know, this is something also that's missing in many churches. Not all, but many. Hebrews 13:17. I'd like to read this verse to us. If I can find it. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God says to those here, and people say, well, you know, I just follow Jesus. Well, Jesus said to obey those that have the rule over you. So who's he talking about? That's right. He's talking about pastors. That's exactly who he's talking about. The word bishop means an overseer. That's Timothy was told, take the oversight thereof. Right. That's overseeing. That's a position of authority. God says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So these people that say, well, I just follow Jesus. Good. So you'll submit to your pastor. No, they never do. But my point being is that we're going to teach submission, godly obedience to authority. We're going to teach good order. Things need to be done decently and in order. We're going to strive toward the perfection of the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, he gave the gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That means for the growth, for the maturity. We want to help you grow. And a lot of this is to help you grow. That's why I'm even bringing some of this stuff up. That's why this is the vision for our church, is so I can help you grow, so I can mature you. You know, God placed me here to perfect you, to mature you, to teach you. That's why God put me here. That's what the Bible says. To glorify God, we're going to teach separation from sins of the flesh, separation from the world, separation from error and compromise. We need to teach that. That brings God glory. God's for all of this stuff. God's not against these things. God is for them. God talks about us having discernment. God talks about us using judgment. God warns about false teachers. And all of that comes down to judging whether something is right or wrong. God wants that. And when we determine if something's right or wrong, then we separate from the wrong. And it's not just we separate from that. We're actually connecting ourselves to the Lord. And in connecting ourselves with the Lord, since He is holy, be ye holy for I am holy. When we connect ourselves with the Lord, we're instantly separating from what's unholy. That's what God desires for all of our lives. And you know, it's something that just, it never stops. We constantly have to examine our lives and say, Lord, what's unholy in my life? What's influencing me towards the wrong way? And then we have to make those changes. And that's where we have to, you know, right with that, separating from the sins of the flesh. Man, my flesh wants this. And then I'm like, well, but God's over there. Sometimes that's how it is, isn't it? I'm going to come over here then, God. And when we do that, we leave what God doesn't want us to be a part of. So separation is something we're going to teach. The goal of all of this is to make spiritual progress so there's no need for exclusion. We talked about church discipline. We don't want to have to exclude someone from our church because they're walking disorderly, because they're doing things that God says are wrong, and we have to exercise that church discipline and exclude them from this church. We never want to do that. That's why I'm even talking about this stuff, is so we don't have to do that. I don't want to do that. We don't want to exclude anyone from here. We want all of you to be faithful, committed, disciple members. That's what we want, and that's why I'm bringing all this up. That's why we're talking about this. We will strive to exercise this discipline in love. That's key, that we'd exercise it in love. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. A properly disciplined environment can produce continual revival. Think about it. The atmosphere you see in the book of Acts was one of continual revival. Why? Because they had proper discipline. Not one of those churches you read about, not one of the church epistles you read, was it a perfect church. But man, God was doing something in the midst of all of them. God was doing some amazing things. They were in a state of continual revival. And that's what we want. If we have a properly disciplined environment, we can produce continual revival. And it's not us producing it, it's God producing it. The spiritual revival seen in the New Testament epistles is a revival lifestyle, not a revival meeting. There's a difference. I want that lifestyle. I want to be continually revived. I want to be in close fellowship with the Lord. I want to see the Lord doing things and working in our midst. And as we follow these principles, I believe we will see Him working in our midst. We've seen it happen in the Bible. Why can't we have it? A disciplined environment only helps us to walk in truth and live in the Spirit of God. And that's what we want. You know, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. That's what we want. We want to follow God in spirit and in truth. And as we do that, it's going to be from a disciplined environment. We want to train people to be strong in the Word of God. That's why we give away these Bible reading schedules. That's just one small thing we do to help you be disciplined in the Word of God, to help you know the Word of God. We offer the Bible Institute. That's something else we do, additional teaching to get you grounded in the Word of God. We offer several, you know, services. I mean, now Sunday morning, you know, we offer Sunday schools. We're looking at archaeology in the Bible, and now we're going to finish up on the family, and then we're going to get into this, giving God glory in the church. And then Sunday nights, we're looking at the book of Nehemiah. Wednesday nights, we're going through the book of Acts. We're doing all of this to get you grounded in the Word of God. And that's what we want. That's what's going to help us, is that we would be strong in the Word of God. So when we get out there, when we go seeking to reach the lost, we can help them with what the Word of God says. Do we believe this book has the answers for life? Amen. Then we need to be experts in using this. We need to practice with this sword. Soldiers, when they would go out, before there was guns or anything like that, we could even make the application to a gun, but when they fought with swords, they would practice hours a day. Hours a day. How many of us have spent an hour a week studying the Word of God? See, we need to be students of the Word of God. So sometimes we need to be challenged with that. We need to be encouraged in that. And we also need to be taught. We need someone to teach us. Every one of us needs that. Every one of us needs that. It's good for us. We must have an atmosphere of charity. That's something that just needs to be here. Yes, we preach the Word of God strongly, but we want to love people and help them and allow them room to grow, because all of us need that. We need that room to grow. We're going to continue teaching how to build godly homes. I mean, how we can order our homes so that we can fulfill this vision, because it all fits together. What's happening in the home affects what happens here. So we want to build godly homes based on God's plan for it, God's plan for our homes. We want to train and prepare our youth for the challenges facing them. And that's why we've gone through so many of the things, looking at evolution, at archaeology in the Bible, because I want to help our young people. I don't want to lose one young person. I don't want to lose one. I'd rather just keep you. That's why we want to be thorough on what the gospel is. We want to be thorough on salvation. We want you to understand salvation. We want you to get saved. We want you to know the Lord. I want the young people that aren't even here yet, that some one's going to be born here any day now, and some of the younger ones that are toddlers and younger, I want them to know the Word of God. I want them to know salvation, and I don't want to lose one of them. I don't want to lose one of you here, you older teens. I don't want to lose one of you. I want you to walk with God your whole entire life. I want you to serve God your whole entire life. And when you grow up and you're older and you have your kids, you look back and you say, I don't regret serving God, not a bit. You know, you don't have to look back on your life and say, wow, and I wish I'd never had that time when I, you know, when I got away from the Lord and did all those things I'm ashamed of right now. I wish I'd never done that. If you come back, if you get that opportunity, you might not. I want to prevent that. Amen. As best I can, I'm going to strive for that. I mean, I pray for everyone in here, but the young people especially have a special place in my heart that I pray for you, that you just will love God and you will serve God and you'll follow God. We will place a vision for evangelism before you. I mean, that's what our church planting is. That's us following the Great Commission. That's why we are striving to start another church, is because this is what the Bible dictates. This is what we're supposed to do. Why aren't we doing it? And it's not just, oh, the preachers do it. No, it's we do it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You're to do the work of the ministry too. I'm to lead in it. But we want a vision for evangelism, a vision for reaching the lost people of this world. That's why we give so much training in how to evangelize. That's why we go out every week, because we see it's important in the Word of God. I mean, they went out not just once a week. They were going out every day. Every day. The least we can give is one day a week. We can dedicate some time to evangelizing. We want a vision for that because it's important to God. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came, was to seek and save the lost. So if that's why He came and He left us here as His ambassadors, as His representatives, shouldn't we be doing what He came for? Amen. Doesn't that make sense? We should be doing that. I hope we do. And if you say, I don't know how, I'm uncomfortable with it, well, start coming with us. We'll teach you. We'll teach you. There's no excuse for... It's not some gift that God gives, the gift of evangelism. It's not in the Bible. He gives an evangelist, which is a church planter, but He doesn't give the gift of evangelism. It's a command. You know, it's not just like, well, some people have the gift of baptism. They can get baptized. I can't. No, it's a command to be baptized. It's a command to go and teach all nations. That was given to His church. So just like baptism's a command, we're all to do that. So is evangelism. We're all to do that. So we want to have a vision. We want to place that vision before you. And above all, we need to maintain a first love for Jesus. A first love. The church in Ephesus, we're going to look at it, but God gives them some warnings and some help in Ephesians chapter 3. And it all centers around the love of God. As you studied out Ephesians chapter 3, that's what it centers around. But you take it about 30 years later, and you read in the book of Revelation chapter 2. And God says, Jesus Christ says to that church, He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. So this church, He said, you focus on my love and love in general right there. They left their first love. Something happened. Something got in the way. See, it was just one step at a time as they stepped back. Just one step at a time as they removed. They said, well, you know, I'm busy. I don't have time to do that right now. That's all it takes, is just one step. I'm tired. I can't go to church now. Just one step at a time. It's not that big a deal. I'm just going to miss this one. I'm just not going to read my Bible this time. Just that one step. You know, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to serve God like that anymore. I know I used to, but I'm kind of tired of that. Let someone else do it. That's all it takes, just that one step. Just one. So here, let me just challenge you all with something like this. You think, well, I'm just not going to do that this time. What if I showed up on a Sunday and I said, well, I'm just not going to preach this Sunday. We'll just go home. And then what if I started doing that once a month? Well, I'm tired. I'm just not going to do that. Would you all think that was right of me to do that? Or would you say, what's wrong with Pastor? Something's wrong with him. How come he doesn't want to preach? He's supposed to. Right. You're right, I am. That's the call. The call is to feed the Lord's sheep, feed my sheep. So if it'd be wrong of me not to do what God has put before me, is it wrong of you not to do what God has put before you, not to serve Him how you have? To back off of that. Look, I'm just telling you, look, ask yourself, when you were, if you're not where you were a year ago and you've backed off from that, ask yourself why. What got in the way? What got in the way? Period. Something got in the way of you. Something got in the way of you and the Lord. If you were all excited to be in church and to go soul winning and whatever else it may have been, to stick around after the services even, and now once the services are over, you're like, boom, I'm out of here. What got in the way? Something got in the way. And I'm not saying like sometimes, you know, we're like, hey, we got to leave right after church. I'm not talking about that type of stuff. Everyone's going to have stuff like that. I'm talking about as it starts to begin to become a habit of your life. What's gotten in the way? I'll make you one promise. This right here isn't happening. If I'm wrong, come tell me after the service. If I'm wrong, you come tell me after the service. I'm still reading my Bible. Okay, or if maybe you're reading like a verse or two a day, but are you reading it like you were when you were on fire? I'm telling you, almost every time when someone slowly just backs off the Lord, this has disappeared. This is gone. You said, well, how do you know that? Because I know what happens in my own life. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I know my own wicked flesh. So what's gotten in the way? Ask yourself and be honest. Be honest. What's gotten in the way that I'm not walking with God like I should, that I don't have a first love for Jesus Christ like I should? If we can all work together to maintain this type of environment at Liberty Baptist Church and any future church plants, I believe we will live in an atmosphere of revival. I believe that. I honestly do. And I believe that God is doing some amazing things right here. But I just want to make sure we keep that, we maintain that, and more than maintain it, we just amp it up. We get more so. More on fire for the Lord. More excited to serve God. I want that more. I don't want it to be less. You know, if Hebrews 10:25 says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching, you should be together. I mean, that's what I want. That should be the desire in our heart is, hey, so much the more, hey, we get to be together more. We get to spend more time with each other. I mean, that's what we should desire. That's what we should want. When someone's not here, we should be like, it's just not the same without so-and-so. It's just different. And we miss them. And you'd miss them when someone else isn't here. So much the more. It won't just be revival at church, but will encompass our entire lives. Oh, man, that's when it's good right there. When our life is a life of revival, our life is close with God, our walk is close with God, that's what God wants. It's not to say that everything's going to be perfect and we won't have problems or heartaches, because I promise you that stuff is going to come. But we'll be close to the Lord and growing in Him when it does come. That's what it means. That's the vision that I want to put before our church, that He would get glory in this church, right here. And this is how we can better do that, by disciplining ourselves. By disciplining ourselves and being willing to examine ourselves in certain areas and see, where can we grow? Where can I grow personally? I mean, really challenge yourself. Challenge yourself in something, in some specific area. Maybe you've been struggling with, say, God, I want to grow in this right here. Say, my flesh says, no, I don't want to, but God, I know you want me to. And you might say, I was here this time last year, but I'm not here now. I want to be back, God. Help me get back. And thank God He's the God of the next chance. Amen. Because He is. If you're still sucking air, God's giving you a chance. Amen. Praise God. He's giving you another chance. All right, let's go ahead.